Back to our series of Romans. We are now in Romans chapter 11, continuing from last week in verse 13, picking up from verse 13 to 24, as we continue our journey through this book together, learning how to be right in a world that has gone so wrong around us. The theme of the book of Romans being the righteousness of God and how that has been applied, how that is lived out. We are nearing, as we come through the end of chapter 11, we are coming to the end of the theological section that began really in chapter 1. And chapter 1 through 11 is all the theological section. We get into chapter 12, we're going to get into the practical part of how we live that righteousness out in our life every day. But chapter 9, 10, and 11, Paul has been dealing with the nation of Israel and their relationship with God when the Messiah came, they had rejected him. And what God is doing in their life as he's seeking to call them to himself now. And chapter 11 deals with the day of the future restoration of Israel when it will be restored, when Jesus the Messiah comes and they will look upon him and put their faith in him as Messiah and be restored back in to that place of salvation. Picking up in verse 13, hear the word of the Lord as Paul writes, "I am talking to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I make much of my ministry and hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over those branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I may be grafted in. Granted. But they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Consider therefore the kindness and the sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise you will be cut off, and if they did not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. After all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature, and contrary to nature, were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted in to their own olive tree?" Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word to us. Lord, we thank you for its truth, revealing to us your plan, your wonderful plan that you established in eternity past, in a way that we could be made right with you, that you always, Lord, wanted a people to belong to you. You wanted to be in relationship with us. And Lord, so you initiated that plan of redemption that we could be restored back. And Father, we thank you for that hope of restoration. And Lord, that promise that we have of abiding in you and that connection to you. So Father, I ask that you would bless your word to our hearing this morning, that you give us ears to hear from you, a heart to receive what you have for us today. Feed us on the bread of life and nourish our spirits with the water of life this morning, that we may experience refreshment, truth, and understanding from you. You are the God of wisdom, the God of truth, the one who inspired your word. So Lord, the Holy Spirit who is present in and among us today, Lord, help us to hear from you through Christ in whom we pray. Amen. Several years ago, when Kim's band was playing in the Memorial Day Parade in East Prospect, this was several years ago, I went along to watch the parade in East Prospect, and coming down the road was something that was very interesting that Jake and Derek would find quite interesting. Because in the parade was this tractor. And it caught my attention because it wasn't just an ordinary tractor. It had been joined together, two different tractors joined together. And one half of it was a John Deere, and the other half of it was a Farmall. And they were going down the road, two in one, the John Deere side and the Farmall side, going down together, and they were supposed to be joined as one, and they were working that way till it got in front of us and went around the corner, and the wheel of the Farmall fell off, and the whole thing went on its side. But they were joined together, carrying the properties of both the Farmall tractor and the John Deere tractor in one joint unit. That's what Paul is describing for us this morning in the scripture before us. Being joined together as the family of God. Within a church, we are joined together. All our many differences, all our many different gifts and personalities. And God joins us together into one family unit. Isn't it great to be a part of the family of God? And joined together with all our different gifts and one unity united in Jesus, our Savior. But in chapter 11, Paul's talking about how God has joined us as Gentiles into the family of faith that really began with Abraham and the Jews. And into that heritage, we're here today because of the faith that when God called Abraham, he heard and he listened and he obeyed. And God, through Abraham, God established a nation of Israel through whom he would work to be the light to the Gentiles, as we had seen last week. And that through that nation, eventually, Jesus the Messiah would come and the plan of salvation and redemption, and we all could be restored to God. Paul is describing for us in this chapter how God took Gentiles, unbelievers, people who had no mind or care for God whatsoever, and united us into the family of faith and into that heritage that we could belong to him. And being joined together. And this morning as we look at the scripture together, we're going to discover four truths that are important to us that we need to learn about being joined together that God wants us to remember. And that being united to Christ and being joined with him comes with special blessings, but it also comes with some responsibilities that God calls us to as followers. And first, you and I have been joined to God through Christ to create and generate a hunger and a thirst for God in others. You say, well, what's that mean? Well, notice what Paul said. Paul said, I'm speaking to you Gentiles, those who first were outside of the family of God, who got brought into the family of God through faith. He said, inasmuch as I'm an apostle to the Gentile, and that was what Paul's ministry was, the Jews had rejected, and every time he would go to the synagogue and preach to the Jews, but they kept rejecting, so he said, I'm going to go to the Gentiles, and he took the message of salvation to the nations. But he said, I'm speaking to you, those of you who are already in the family of God who were saved. He said, I make much of my ministry, and I hope that somehow I may arouse my own people to what? Envy. And save some of them. What was Paul saying? Paul was saying that as in the being in the body of Christ as believers, we should live our lives so close to Jesus that seeking to become like him, and that people see Jesus in you and in me and his joy being lived out in us, that it would create a hunger and thirst that would make others jealous for God. Or envious of God, that they would want to have that same kind of thing. That whenever you're going through a hard and difficult time in life, and people look at you and say, well, how in the world can you get through that? How do you cope with that? And it's because of Jesus, right? And it makes other people see that. And it makes other people desire what you have. Living in such a life to make people jealous for God. They say, man, I don't know what they have, but I really want to have it too. Isn't that a way to live? That's what God calls us to. And Paul said, that's what I want you Gentiles to remember, that the Jews will see because of you coming to faith that they're missing out on something that God is doing and they want to be a part of it. Live your life in such a way that it will make others jealous, envious, desiring for God and for that relationship with Him. To taste what we know and what we've experienced. And also creating a hunger and thirst and desire for God that restores others to Him. He says in verses 15 through 16, he says, "For if their rejection is reconciliation for the world, as we learned last week, because the Jews rejected, from that salvation came to the Gentiles." But he said, if their rejection meant salvation from the world, what much more will their acceptance be but life from the dead and that resurrection and that hope? And living in such a way that not only makes people jealous for God, but seeks to restore others. And it's for people that, you know, that maybe at one time had a love for God or attended church or had some kind of relationship with the Lord but walked away from it. And living in a way that makes them want to come back home again and to be restored back into that relationship with Jesus. Being joined together to generate a hunger and thirst for God. And how are we, all of us, doing in that? That we would make more people thirsty, longing for God, and have that passion for Him. Second, we are joined together in that we are grafted together in the Lord. And Paul says in verse 17, if some of the branches were broken off, and you, a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now you share in the nourishing sap from the olive root. Paul says that you and I as believers were grafted into Jesus. And I'm not a gardener, but he uses gardening terms here. If you want me to raise any of your plants, don't give them to me. I'll kill them. I don't have a green thumb, and I'm not very good at that. Even though I enjoy plants in the house or plants, I'm just not good at keeping them alive. But I did some study this week on what grafting is all about. And I love how the Lord often takes, and Derek and I have had this conversation, how the Lord takes examples from farming, the things that we understand to help us understand spiritual truth. And the process of grafting and what it means, but he's saying that the believers, we, the Gentiles, are the branches. And Israel was the natural tree, the olive tree, and the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is the root. And that's the picture of what he's talking about. But how? And we are joined to Christ and grafted in to faith in Him, which we wouldn't have had the chance of if it wouldn't have been for Christ. But how does grafting take place? Grafting is the technique that joins two plants together into one, combining the characteristics of both. Just as they took that John Deere tractor and that farm all and joined them together and had the characteristics of both. And grafting does the same thing. And you have the rootstock plant and the part you're going to graft in the scion, grafting them together. And then when that grows from it, you get fruit produced from both. And that's the picture that Paul is writing here. And how you graft it is take the scion wood, put it into the wood stock, the root stock, and join it together with tape. Joining, making a bond of two different units into one new plant. But in order for that to happen, I discovered, the scion and the root stock have to be in contact with each other. And they gotta make contact. What that's telling us is that when we are grafted together into Jesus, He took us who were outside of Christ and brought us in, but being in contact with Him and in contact with each other. First, we're in contact with the Lord, and it says that we don't support the root supports us, that we said we are grafted in to the nourishing sap, that nourishing sap that comes from the root coming to us, the nourishment of Christ. The root, being in contact with Him. And He has joined us, first of all, to Himself. by faith, being united and in contact with him. But also he has joined us to each other and in contact with the Spirit and joined us together as one in that process of grafting. And God does that grafting through the work of his Spirit. So that's how the process is done. One piece of wood grafted into another, making a whole one new plant shared together. But what's the results of that? And why is the Lord graft us together? Well, the results is, I've did some studying on grafting this week, is that when a plant is grafted together, part of the result is it becomes more fruitful. It will produce different types of fruit, maybe, than what the gardener intends, but it will produce fruit and becomes more fruitful. And as you and I are grafted into Jesus and grafted together, he's done that so that we will become more fruitful. Jesus said in John chapter 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me. And he said, I have, so that we will become even more fruitful. And he said, this is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So fruitfulness, God has joined you to him and each other so that we can become fruitful for him through his Spirit at work in us. Also, another result of grafting is hardiness. That when a plant is grafted, it becomes more hardy so that it can endure hardship that it wouldn't be able to do if it wasn't grafted to another. And being grafted together to Jesus and being grafted to one another makes us hardy, gives us spiritual strength that we wouldn't have in our own. Jesus said, without me, you can do what? Nothing, right? But it's being joined to him gives us that strength and that hardiness to be able to withstand the hardship that may come our way. Also, another result of grafting is sturdiness. It makes the plant more sturdy, that it can withstand the wind and the rain. Also learned this week that when a plant is grafted together, the result is disease resistance. That it makes it able to resist disease better than if it wasn't grafted to another plant. And when you or I are grafted to Jesus and grafted to each other, we have the result of disease resistance as well, meaning that we're able to resist the enemy. It's when we aren't grafted into him and when we're not relying on his power that sin is running rampant in us. But we have the power to resist sin when we are grafted into the vine and when the Spirit is working in us, giving us, quote, disease resistance, the ability to live in the way he calls us to. And another result of grafting is unity, where two plants brought together into one. And that's the picture Paul was painting here, that the Jews and the Gentiles, believing Jews and the believing Gentiles being united together into one family of God. And that someday God will restore the unbelieving Jews back into that family again. But the unity of being united and joined to Christ and being joined to each other in one family. And that's the beauty of being a part of the family of God. So that's the process of grafting and the results of grafting. But in order for that grafting, I've learned this week, to take place, a gardener needs to use certain tools. The process just doesn't happen. He or she needs to have certain tools in their hand. And the first tool that a gardener uses to graft another plant to one plant to another is what's called the cutting tools or a grafting knife. And he'll cut away the one plant, and he has to cut the rootstock so he can put the scion into that, but it first involves cutting. The process of cutting is painful. But turn with me to John chapter 15, verse 2. We're going to refer back to this chapter again, but these are the words of Jesus. John chapter 15, verse 2. Jesus speaking said, I am the vine, my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. It's that cutting process. That's how grafting begins. And the Lord The grafting knife that the Lord uses is his Holy Spirit. And through the cutting away in our heart through the Holy Spirit, he grafts, he cuts away those parts that need to be taken out of us and pruned from our lives so that we become more fruitful in him. And that's how that process begins. You know, sometimes the Word of God says that the Word of God is powerful and active, able to penetrate and cut away into the deepest parts of us, so precise, even to divide bone joints from marrow. And God in his Word sometimes has a ability to cut into the deep parts of us in his love, showing us where we yet need to surrender that to him. In Sunday school this morning, in Bible study, we've been talking for the last 3 weeks about bringing our tongue under the control of the Spirit. And that's just one small area, but that's an area that the Lord has to cut away in a lot of our hearts, because we often say things we regret or we wish we wouldn't have. And the Lord cutting away where that pruning begins with that cutting knife. But also, there's the disinfecting tools that after it is cut, and then the plant has to be disinfected. And that disinfecting tool in our heart is the Holy Spirit, who through his holiness at work within us is refining us, is making us more like Jesus. Each and every day as that process goes on, it's not a once and done thing. But it's a continual growth and progress in our life. And then there's the grafting seal or tape, as you see there at the end as they wrap the tape around. That grafting seal that after it is joined together, it is taped for about 2 weeks or so for that seal to bond. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says this. In chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, he says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." So having believed, again, God puts his seal upon us. He seals us into that union through his Holy Spirit. So his Holy Spirit is the cutting and work. His Holy Spirit is disinfecting us, but his Holy Spirit also seals us, keeping that union and that bond to him strong. That's God's process of grafting. After being grafted, we are grafted together in the Lord. But third, Paul tells us, we are joined together into one family, but he says we need to guard against spiritual pride. Notice what he says in verses 18 to 21. He says, "Don't boast, you who are Gentiles being brought into the family of God, the Jews are unbelieving right now, but don't boast over those branches that were cut off. For if you do, consider this, you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. The Jews were cast aside right now so the Gentiles could be saved." Yes, he said, but don't boast over that, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he won't spare you either. And Paul says, we need to guard against spiritual pride. That means to have an attitude of humility, which means don't consider yourself better than those who are lost, because we all need God's grace. You know, we can get the idea that we're saved, we know God, we're in a special relationship with him, he loves us better. No, God loves all people the same, right? He even loves the lost. And we can get this attitude of spiritual pride. Except for the grace of God, where would any of us be? And that's what he's reminding the Gentiles here. Don't boast and don't be proud about that God saved you and the Jews have rejected the Messiah. He said, don't get arrogant about that. But realize it was all a work of his grace. If it wasn't for his grace, all of us would be lost. Don't consider yourself better. The root does not support us. And we don't support the root. The root supports us. And we find our strength in him. Guard against spiritual pride. But for the grace of God, we all be ran for hell. Having that attitude of humility and thankfulness. And the fourth thing is to grow in God's goodness as we're joined to him. Continue to grow in that. He says, therefore, consider the kindness and the sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided you continue in, continue, that word continue meaning abide in. It's the same word as in John chapter 15, where Jesus said, abide in me. Continuing in that, and continuing to grow in that connection, in that kindness and guidance of God, continuing to walk in that kindness and in the greatness of God. John 15, 1 to 8, Jesus says, abiding in me, remaining in me, keeping that connection strong, and that kindness that God has shown to you and I that we don't deserve. Not only abiding in that kindness, but living out that kindness and walking in it and showing it to those around us and treating others with the kindness that we ourselves received. And also he says, walk in his favor. Verses 23 through 24, he says, if they persist in unbelief, they will be granted in, for God is able to graft them in again. And after all, if you who are cut off from the wild, an olive tree that is wild by nature can be carted in to a cultivated one, how much easier will it be for the natural branches to be grafted into their own olive tree? Paul is saying there's going to be a day. If he can take us as unbelieving Gentiles and put us into the family of God, he can take the people of Israel and put them back into that again someday, and they will be restored. So he's saying, walk in a way of his favor, knowing that having the favor of his kindness in our life. So Paul paints this beautiful picture of what it means to be joined together, joined with him and his family. So as we celebrate that, as we live in that, live a way that generates a hunger and desire for God, that people see what you have and that joy in your life and that special relationship, that it makes them jealous for it too, that they also want to be a part of that. Celebrate the fact that we are grafted together in the Lord and joined to him as his people. Guard against spiritual pride, because it was a work of his grace and our faith in response to him. And grow in that goodness of God as we continue to abide in him. As Jesus said, remain in me and I will remain with you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for grafting us into you. That we were outside as Gentiles, we were outside of your people. You came to the Jews and they received you not. You came unto your own and they received you not. But as many as received you, you gave the right to become and privilege to become children of God. And so, Father, we thank you that through the faith that Abraham, when he heard that call and he responded by faith and walked with you, that began a journey and a people through which you were calling to yourself. And you established a nation through whom salvation of the world would come. And Lord, we thank you that we have heard that call. You have grafted us in. You have connected us to you and to the root, to Jesus. And we abide in you and get our life from you. Lord, may your spirit do your work within us, continuing to cut away and prune in our heart in those areas that still need to be refined to make us more like you. And Father, help us to guard against spiritual pride, because none of us have arrived there yet. You're still doing a work in our heart. We all still have areas of growth and refinement that needs to be. And Lord, it's only by your grace, not by anything in us. Lord, may we not think we are better or more special than anybody else or those who were lost and still in darkness. Lord, help us to guard against that and to have a humble spirit, knowing it's all because of you. And Lord, help us to continue to press on and grow in you, abiding in the vine, remaining in you, getting our life from the nourishing sap that provides our life through you. And thank you, Lord, for joining us to you and joining us together in one people of faith here within our local church, within the EC family, within the greater body of Christ around the world, that we are all one people in you through faith. Thank you for who you are, for what you've done in Jesus. We ask this prayer in his name. Amen.